Good morning. For those of you who were here last week, I tried a little experiment. I had mentioned that I had listened to a podcast. Forget now where it was, but it took place over 4 days. But Bernie Glassman gave a series of Dharma talks. I'd never seen him do this before, but apparently it's something that he does now, in which he'll say something to the effect, well, before he gives a talk, he'd like to know what questions people have, rather than just come and impose a talk. And so he went around the room and just asked people to state a question. He didn't answer them directly. But then out of those questions, he created the Dharma talk. So risking the chance of falling flat on my face, I decided to do the same thing just to see what would happen. And whether I fell flat on my face or not, it's up to you guys. But I gave it a shot. But one of the questions that came up was about Sangha. So I'd like to just say a few words about Sangha and its place in our practice and its importance. But before I do that, I'd like to just create a little bit of a context for the word and for the practice. Now, in Buddhism, the foundation of almost all forms of Buddhism, which also includes Zen, the foundation is the three treasures. And you're probably familiar with those, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And these three aspects of practice are related to a basic commitment that we make as students when we choose the path of Buddhism. And that is the commitment to be free from the confusion and limitations that a mind that perceives the world dualistically creates. So for this reason, to become free, the students will dedicate, we will all dedicate ourselves to the three treasures. And they're sort of in the form of vows, you know, that we say, I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dharma, and I take refuge in the Sangha. Now, taking refuge literally means finding a place of shelter or protection. And I think that in this vow, it means that we vow to take guidance from and to become one with the three treasures. And in doing so, we will be on spiritually safe or protected grounds. I should add that this commitment to the three treasures is not just done for oneself. It is a commitment to be free, to attain freedom on behalf of all living beings. Now, the term Sangha has a broad and varied meaning and usage. It's a term that generally refers to those people who come together around taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and also usually being Buddhist. It's also not limited to Buddhists who meditate, as most Buddhists throughout the world do not meditate. So Sangha is also used to refer to any members of any Buddhist organization or lineage. It can also refer to people who identify with a particular school of Buddhism, such as Mahayana, Theravada, Vajrayana, Zen, and so forth. Also, all Buddhist monasteries, Zen centers, meditation groups are referred to as sanghas. And finally, groups of people who commit to live their lives in accordance with the three treasures, but do not identify themselves as Buddhists, are still considered to be sanghas. Now, it's my opinion, and I think we all have a feeling or a sense of it here, that sangha is a crucial aspect of Zen practice. Beyond just being a designation of a collection of practitioners, right? I mean, that's what the word refers to, this group or this collection of practitioners. But as we use it, I think it has a much deeper and more subtle meaning. And in order to understand this clearly, we must recognize what seriously taking up the practice of Zen requires of us. If we really commit to free ourselves, we must be ready to give up that which is most dear to us, that to which we are most attached. Now, I'm not talking about our BMW convertible or the fortune in Wall Street investments that we may have, or even, you know, that house on the beach in the Hamptons. It's even more dear than that. I'm talking about giving up all ideas of self, that precious conglomeration of concepts of who we think we are, and without which there is no Carl, there is no Jeff, there is no Anne, no Carol, no Bill, no Andy, no Mario, etc. At some point in our practice, Zazen will require us to surrender ourself. And this is letting ourselves become vulnerable to the practice of Zazen. And it can lead to becoming intimate beyond any idea you may have of intimate or intimacy. It is, in a sense, a leap off the mountain of self-identification, which we have relied on for our entire lives. And when we take this leap, or should I say more correctly, when leaping occurs, sitting with a sangha of open-hearted and like-minded practitioners both supports taking the leap and softens the landing. The sangha becomes a container that supports such an exploration and creates a safe place for it to happen. Giving up the self can be unsettling, and so it's nice to have support when that happens or starts to happen. And we create this container by sitting together, by sharing Daisan together, by talking with an open heart in practice circle, by bowing to each other, cleaning the zendo, doing the chants, keeping the cushions neat and clean, having a cup of coffee together, sharing our lives, paying attention to even the smallest details, ultimately being one with each other. So sangha, or the deeper meaning of sangha, is that it is a gift, one that we receive and one that we give to each other in a myriad of ways. For these and for many other reasons, I think sangha is a profound expression and support of our practice. Thank you.